Great songs of worship today, amen. I mean, that's powerful stuff. Just the lyrics, again, the lyrics just speak such powerful statements. You know, I don't know if we always realize exactly what we're saying, but we're saying things back to God. When we gather in worship and we sing these songs back, we're saying these things to God. We're saying these back to our Heavenly Father, to our Redeemer. And it's, you know, if you think about what you say, you know, we're always told, you know, be careful about what you say, watch your words. And so be careful what we sing, I think, is important. You know, this past week, last Sunday, we talked about meeting with God and being still before Him, being calm to listen, to be intentional about those things. And we're going to kind of review a little bit of that today. Then we're going to take a look at some other things. But, you know, I challenge some of you guys to just to find that small amount of time, that just a few minutes to meet with God the Father as you begin each day, when you're at your best or whatever it might be. And you don't have to raise your hand or anything, but just, you know, just answer yourself this question. Did you find the time to meet with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords this past week? Or were you too busy? Too active? Too focused on other things? Or did you find the time? A few minutes ago, we sang a song that said, running to you, Jesus, running to you. Your love is enough. We were singing those songs, singing that song, we were singing those words. Do we run to Him? Do we expect to meet with Him? Do we wake up in the morning with the expectation we get to meet with God who wants to meet with us? I mean, think about that. He wants to spend time with us. He wants to be with us. You know, it's one thing whenever we go and we meet with people and, you know, and you really don't want to be with them and they really don't want to be with you. It's kind of an awkward place. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you don't want to, you're kind of like, how long are we going to have to be there? You ever ask your parents that or, you know, your family, you're going to, you know, and maybe it's an aunt or uncle you don't really like being around. They're kind of weird or whatever, you know, or maybe you're the weird aunt or uncle. I don't know. But the thing is you're like, how long are we going to have to be there? Because you really don't want to go there. But what if you went with expectancy and excitement about meeting with someone? It's a little bit different mentality, isn't it? I mean, it kind of affects you and how you see it. Your perspective is different. And even like this morning, you know, when we gather in here as the body of Christ, we come before His presence and where we should come in here with an expectancy, with an excitement about getting to gather as the body of Christ, to worship the one true God, to be able to celebrate who He is and to maybe hear a word from Him, maybe from the Scriptures or maybe from somebody, or maybe it's a lyric in a song that grabs us and moves us and we go, you know what, you know, man, you know, God spoke to me through that song. God spoke to me through that message or through that word. So when we approach the throne of grace, do we approach it with an expectancy? Do we, and again, do we make the time, and do we take the time, and we set aside the time to meet with God daily? We could do that daily. We can do it anywhere. We can do it anywhere. Doesn't matter. You know, Paul did it in a jail cell. We can do it anywhere. But do we plan that time? Are we strategic or intentional about that? So one of the things I wanted to talk about was preparing. Preparing to hear from God. And we have to prepare if we really want to hear from Him. Yesterday we had a great serve day. We had, and I don't know how many people showed up, but, you know, it's hard to get people to give up a Saturday morning. I mean, it's like, you know, asking them for a bar of gold or something. But we had people show up. We had teams and even families that showed up. And we had an opportunity to go and just to bless some families here close to our church. We cut their grass. We did their yard work and just did a few things. And then we had an opportunity to go and help a couple of teachers with painting some rooms. You guys saw the video. And so, you know, here's the thing, that we had to prepare for that. So earlier in the week, we had meetings where we said, hey, listen, who would be a good team leader to take a team and kind of help make sure that team, you know, gets the task done? All right. And then, like, you know, Chris and I, we would ride around and we would go to each of the homes and we would kind of look to assess and see, hey, exactly what needed to be done, because we didn't want to be overwhelmed and we needed to know, how many teams or how many families do we need to put on that one project? And so what we tried to do is we tried to prepare for that day so that we could be effective and hopefully make an impact and hopefully prayerfully bless someone. That was our whole goal. Then we had to ask you guys last Sunday, hey, how many of you guys would be willing to come and be a part of that? And we had people that, you know, said, hey, I'll be there. I'll bring this tool. I'll bring whatever. And so we began to kind of put together teams based on what we had as far as resources and who would be there. And of course, you know, people get sick and there's some people that didn't make it or didn't show or whatever. And so we had to make some quick adjustments. We had a few people that showed up that weren't on the list, so it worked out good. But we had to prepare for that. And one of the main things is, you know, we showed up on Saturday morning, and you know how people are. And so we're getting here early. We're supposed to be here at 7:30. We're going to leave at 7:45. And so Karen did a good job of going and getting some biscuits. You know, and because, you know, people get cranky if they don't have food, right? And so everybody was sure was excited that she had prepared well enough to bring biscuits to feed everybody so that we could go out and do the work. And then we had water. And so what I'm saying is there was preparation put into a day like that. And it was, and so those are little things. A lot of people don't think about those things. You don't put a lot of time and effort into those things. But if you want the most out of something, you usually have to prepare well. The biggest championships are won by preparing in the summer or in the off season. And so you prepare all year long. You're preparing. And then each game you're preparing. Each game you're preparing for that opponent. You're preparing, you're preparing, you're preparing if you want to be successful. And so what happens is we don't often prepare for our time with God. We don't prepare for church. We don't prepare for worship. We just kind of show up. But what if we were to prepare our hearts and be expectant to hear from God? The passage we read last week, and I think it's something we need to, again, look back at. It's out of John chapter 10. And it says, now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch. And then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered him, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. He says, but you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. There's a lot of things in that passage right there that we can cling to and we can hear. And hopefully we hear it with spiritual ears and not just our physical ears, but we hear what he is saying. There's often times whenever Jesus would teach, he would teach in parables, and somebody would say, you know, I don't understand, you know, what does that parable mean? And he would always say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, you need the Spirit of God living within us. And we talked about that last week, to hear and understand the things of God, the kingdom of God. And so there's times whenever we don't hear it, and the people back in the day would even be like, I mean, I don't get it. What is he talking about? He'd say, you have to have ears to hear, spiritual ears to hear what is being said. As a young man here, there's a quote by A.W. Tozier that we'll look at. But A.W. Tozier was a young man. He was leaving a place where he worked. And he was walking by. He was there in the Pennsylvania area. And anyway, he was leaving a shop where he worked at a tire shop. And he heard a street preacher. He heard a street preacher preaching the gospel on the street. And as he walked by, he heard him share with everyone how they could be saved. And he even said, you know, ask God to give you understanding, that you might hear him. And so A.W. Tozier goes home, he crawls up into the attic of his home, and he gets there and he gives his life to Christ there in the attic of his home. And he would become a pastor, he would become a teacher. He came out of strict, you know, terrible poverty, but he would end up learning and teaching and studying the Word of God and became a teacher, a pastor. He'd become an author, he would write books. He has lots of quotes and statements and stuff. But it was from his time with the Father. It was from his time alone with God the Father. And oftentimes, even some of the books that were put together are excerpts from his sermons and his messages and even his prayer journal. And so look at the statement that he makes about preparation. It says, God will speak to the hearts of those who prepare themselves to hear. And conversely, those who do not prepare themselves will hear nothing, even though the Word of God is falling upon their outer ears every Sunday. What he's saying is, listen, we can sit in here and we can hear the Word of God, and it may fall on deaf ears, these ears. But what if it falls on our spiritual ears where we hear it, we receive it, we're moved by it, we're changed by it, and we move to action, we move to hear, you know, say, God, not only have I heard you, God, I want to be about what you are about. God, I want to be doing what you have told me to do. God, I want to be in the middle of what your plans are for me. God, it's not my agenda that I'm just trying to get you to put it on there. And here's the thing, I'll be honest with you. I've sat in lots of services where I heard a message, but I didn't really hear anything. It all has to do with the condition of my heart. I mean, what am I expecting? Am I there just to see how they do the church? Am I there just to, you know, hear the songs? Am I there just because it's the social thing? It's what you're supposed to do. You don't want anybody to get mad at you. You don't want your wife mad at you. You don't want your mom mad at you. But the thing is we sit through services a lot, and we'll hear the Word of God, and it falls on deaf ears. There's plenty of times when people have been sitting in a service and they hear maybe a teaching on, abstinence and remaining pure until marriage, and they go out and they continue to live in a relationship where they're having sex outside of marriage, even though they know that God's Word says that's not what you're supposed to do. Students have heard plenty of times, you know, God's Word taught, hey, you know, honor your mother and your father, but yet you seem to be at odds with your mom and your dad. And you continue to push the envelope. You continue to test those things. And so we hear that. We know what the Scripture says. And a lot of us in here, we know what it says, but we just don't hear it to the point of where we're willing to move or change or adjust. And so what happens? So do we really come in here prepared to hear from God? Do we come in here prepared to hear a word from God? To hear from the Scriptures, from a song, or maybe even someone who is talking to you. Maybe it's just a conversation. Someone shares a testimony. Someone shares something and you hear that and you go, man, you feel that in here and you realize, you know what, God is speaking to me through that. So let me read that quote one more time. It says, God will speak to the hearts of those who prepare themselves to hear. And conversely, those who do not prepare themselves will hear nothing, even though the Word of God is falling upon their outer ears every Sunday. Now, some would say, well, the Bible says that the Word of God, it always accomplishes its task. It will. And so whatever God sets out His Word to do, it will accomplish that task. But the thing is we have hardened hearts. We have stiff necks, as the Scriptures say. And oftentimes, it falls on deaf ears. And so we've got to be willing to approach the time with God. When we're in His presence, as something special. We need to protect it as something special. Now, if there's someone you like or someone that you're attracted to or someone that you want to spend time with, man, you go out of your way to make time for that person. You want to be around them. You want to talk to them. I know you guys remember whenever you were dating and, you know, and you're like, no, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. You know, all that goofy junk. Some of y'all are still doing that. Some of you teenagers probably still do that. And it's like you talk to them for hours and hours. You know, I can remember back in the day, you know, now everybody's got cell phones and stuff. But back in the day, you had the long extension cord on your phone and you would drag it down the hall and you try to get where you could talk. You know, and everybody else needs to use a phone, but you're on there just soaking up all the time. It's because you just wanted to be with them. You wanted to, you know, and then whenever you would leave their house, you just couldn't figure, you know, you just didn't want to leave. Man, it ought to be that way with God. We want to be in His presence. We ought to want to be in His presence. Last week we covered this, so I'm not going to spend a ton of time here, but it talked about listening requires us to be intentional. And I think preparation is intentional. You have to be intentional about how you prepare. How you prepare for anything. You know, like I said, even in sports, we talk about preparing for a game, talk about preparing for a competition, preparing for whatever. You have to prepare, and you have to be intentional about what you do there. What exercises are you doing? What are you doing to strengthen, or what are you doing to learn how to make a certain throw, or whatever it might be? What are you working at that is intentional to prepare for a competition, no matter what that competition might be? You know, the Bible talks about that we run we prepare, we beat our bodies, we make it our slave to win just a prize that really doesn't matter. In other words, a wreath that will fade away, but yet this is what we're talking about here. This is stuff that is eternal. The things that we get from God are the things that can change people's lives, that can save people's souls, that can change us, that can set us free, that can give us the freedom, you know, from sin, that we can literally empower us to have a life like Jesus talked about, an abundant life. It doesn't mean abundant stuff. It means an abundant life. And so when we hear from God, it literally has eternal impact. Here's a passage from Ecclesiastes that we looked at last week. It says, as you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. It is evil to make mindless offerings to God. In other words, not just going through the motions. We talked about that last week. Don't make rash promises. In other words, don't even make a promise that you know you're not going to be able to keep or that you even want to keep. In other words, you know, if you ever, somebody said, hey, can you help me out with this? Oh, yeah, man, I'll be there. And you just don't, you know you're not going to show up. Or sometimes we're like that with God. We know we're, you know, hey, you know, God, I'm not going to show up. I'm not going to follow through. I'm not going to do that. And so what we'll do is we'll make a rash promise. And what the Bible says, hey, listen, don't play with God. He's God. You're not. And so don't play with Him. And don't think that you can trick Him by saying, God, I'm going to quit this sin that I'm entangled in. God, I'm going to lay it down. And you know good and well you're not going to give it up. You know, you might want to. There's a little bit of a part of you that you want to, but you're really not committed to it. And you really don't want to give it up because you enjoy it too much. And so you're really just kind of playing games with God. So don't make rash promises and don't be hasty in bringing matters before God. After all, God is in heaven and you are here on earth. So let your words be few. Too much activity gives you restless dreams. Too many words make you a fool. So when you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through, for God takes no pleasure in fools. Keep all the promises you make to Him. So in other words, don't promise Him everything. I don't know if you guys remember, there was a movie years ago. I don't even know what the movie was about. I just remember seeing the last part of the movie, and Burt Reynolds was in it. And so he's going to commit suicide, and he's swimming out into the ocean. He's like, I'm going to end it. And the further he gets out, the more he makes this decision. You know what? Dude, I want to live. I finally want to live. And so all of a sudden, he starts making all these promises to God that, you know, that he'll, whenever he gets back, he's going to do this and he's going to do that. And the closer he gets to the land, the more he begins to break his promises. It's almost sacrilegious. But I can remember that movie years ago, seeing that as a teenager. So what he's pretty much, it's a mockery. You know, it's just a mockery. You know, all these promises to God, if you'll just keep me alive until I can get back. And then when he, you know, the closer he gets, the less he really meant any of those promises. And so this passage tells us, you know, be careful about what you promise God. Be careful about what you say. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no. And don't be known as a liar. You know, choose to say the things that are truthful. And then, again, we talked about these last week. We have to eliminate distractions. We have to eliminate those things that distract us from our time with God the Father. And there's plenty of those things. There's plenty of things around us that will eliminate, that will cause distractions, that will pull us away. A lot of you guys have it in your back pocket right now, or either in your hand. You know, I saw where somebody posted a few weeks ago, maybe it's been a couple months ago, said, hey, we're having a party over at my house. If everybody wants to join us, we're going to sit around and stare at our phones all night. And there's a lot of truth to that. You go to a restaurant and you look around, you see people sitting there looking at their phones. You know, and there's times, you know, we're all guilty of doing that. We'll sit there and you're getting a text, and then somebody else is like, well, he's got a text. I wonder if I got anything. And you start kind of looking around. And so what happens is we all sit around and we look at our phone. It's a major distraction. And I don't know about some of you, maybe you never, ever turn your phone off unless there's an update or something. But what if you were to turn it off? You say, you know what, I don't even want to be bothered by it. I don't want to be distracted by it. And so you turn your phone off and you lay it down for a while. Now, some of you, that's like cutting off the life flow or blood flow. But what if you were to cut that phone off and just say, you know what, 15 minutes with God. Instead of laying it there so that in case somebody texts or in case you think about something, that's a distraction. What if you were to just cut it off and lay it down? Turn the TV off. And I know some of you in here, you like to have white noise. Like, you know, in other words, if you're at the house and it's too quiet, man, I got to have something on, so you turn the TV on. Or you turn something on, turn music on, whatever. Maybe if you were just to say, you know what, I'm going to eliminate a few distractions. And be intentional about that. And hey, you know, would it be awkward for a little bit? Yeah. But what if you were to get used to spending time being still before God? What if you were to get okay with having no noise around, nothing that's a distraction, and being able to maybe dial in and hear from God? And so the second one there is we have to be still. We're not going to spend a lot of time here, but just being still. I mean, we're all, you ever been around somebody that had ants in their pants? I mean, that's what my mom used to always tell me. She goes, dude, you cannot be still. And there's a lot of times I can't. It's hard for me just to sit there and just be still, you know, unless I'm sleeping. You know, if I'm sleeping, dude, I'm gone. But if, you know, a lot of times, you know, I'm thinking about things I need to do and I want to go do those things, but it's hard to be still. But what if we were just to be still and just sit there and just say, God, I just want to hear from you. Not think about, you know, and like we used to always joke, me and Rick Hagin, who spoke a few weeks ago, you know, it's tough sometimes to go and sit on a lake and just be still before God because you're thinking, you know, I wonder if there's any good fish in here. You know, for somebody who fishes. Or if you go out into the woods, a lot of times you're thinking, man, this looks like a good place to hunt. You know, so your mind can go. So for like Rick, he does his quiet times a lot of times in a Waffle House, which is a little bit weird to me. But he'll sit in a Waffle House and he says, man, I love to be there. He said, because I'm watching people. He said, and God is teaching me about people. He said, you know, that's just, you know, how it works for me. He does a lot of his sermon prep in a Waffle House, preparing for what God would speak to the people around because he wants to be able to see the people. And, you know, for some, say that's a distraction. But God speaks through what he's seeing. And so we have to be intentional about that, being still, though. We have to be still. And then the last part there is listen. This is where I want to talk about preparing. But we have to listen. And I think even like whenever we talk about, hey, we're going to do this series called Discerning the Voice of God, some of you are like, God doesn't really speak anymore. And in our culture, in our times, that's what a lot of people have, that mentality. You know, God doesn't speak anymore. God doesn't really converse. I mean, look at our nation. You know, our nation is falling apart. God doesn't speak anymore. And see, I would disagree with that. I believe that God is still speaking. I believe that God is still speaking to some of you. I believe that God is still calling people to missions and to ministry. I believe that God he's literally tapping people on the shoulder and say, hey, listen, man, I want a relationship with you. I want to redeem you. I want to save you. I believe that God is calling. I believe he's speaking. I believe there's times whenever God's word literally speaks to us in such a way that we as a church or as a body, we feel conviction over that. and we hear that God is speaking to us and saying, you know what? Hey, listen, trust me, lean into me, quit doing this, start doing what is right. And we hear God say that. And we hear it right here, and we go, you know what? I know that God is speaking to me. So I believe that God is still speaking. So discerning the voice of God, for some of you may have been, I just don't believe that God is still speaking, but I believe that He still is. And so we've got to be willing to say, you know what, God, I want to listen. And so this next statement says, if we know that we're His sheep, we should expect to hear from Him. It should be with a sense of expectancy that we go into our time with God. We're not just kind of sitting down and kind of hoping, kind of thumbing through the scriptures and thumbing through the Bible and saying, I wonder if there's anything in here that really is good. But that every time that we enter into our quiet time or our devotion, whether it's 5, 10, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever you might do, but whenever you enter that, you're expecting to hear from God. You're expecting His response. You're expecting Him to speak. You're expecting Him to teach you something. You ever call somebody on the phone and, they've left a voicemail or something that says, hello? And you're like, hey. And they go, hello? And you're like, hello? Hey. And, you know, you're like, man. And then finally you realize, you know, it's kind of a prank. And you're like, dude, I'm going to kill them. Anybody ever call somebody like that? You know, you're just like, dude, I want to just break their neck. Because you're expecting them to respond. You just said, hello? You're expecting a response, right? And whenever they don't, you're going, all right, they got me. They got me good. But the thing is we when you talk to people, like parents, you ever ask your kid a question and, and they don't respond? You're expecting what? You're expecting a response. Like, excuse me? Can you hear me talking to you? I mean, you're expecting a response. That's what communication is. And if we're communicating with the Father, we're sharing these prayer requests, we're sharing these prayers, we're sharing our heart, then we should expect in real communication that God is going to speak to us and that God has a word for us. And so when you go into your time, it's not like, hey, I'm going to get to check this off my list. And, you know, hopefully Pastor Mike, if he asks this Sunday, I'll be able to say that I had a quiet time. But that we go into that time expecting God to speak to us. Expecting a fresh word from Him. Look at this passage here. This is an Old Testament prophet here, Habakkuk. And Habakkuk has got a complaint here. And so, and understand, this is Old Testament. I want to read this passage to you, and you're going to be blown away by how much it sounds like modern day. If you were to look at our news this morning, or even last night, or this week, you would say, you know what, this was written this week somewhere. But listen to what he says. He has a complaint. He's talking to God. He says, how long, O Lord, must I call for help? But you do not listen. Violence is everywhere. I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I'm surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed, and there is no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that the justice have become perverted. Does that not sound like us? This morning, you know, there's 20 people dead in Miami where somebody went into a bar and shot and killed people. 42 people headed to the hospital. That's just in one place. And there's all kinds of violence and stuff that's taking place all over our nation, all over the world. And we read that passage and we go, man, that sounds like us here. But here's the thing that I love about what Habakkuk is saying. He's making this statement. He's saying something, but he is expecting God to respond. He's expecting a response from God. And so, just the fact that he is approaching God with expectancy is something I think that is awesome. And so, he's frustrated because the Chaldeans have come in and they have literally turned the place upside down. And there's all this violence and all this stuff that's going on. Like I said, this is Old Testament. This is before Jesus even comes along. But it sounds so relevant to what we're dealing with. But at least he expected to hear from God. He expected to hear from God. There's a statement over here that says, even though the prophet wasn't seeing God respond in the way and timing he expected, God was speaking and moving. He always is, even in his silence. See, here's the thing. There are times whenever God is silent in our lives. It's silent maybe for a nation. It was like that with Israel. There was times of silence, but God is still at work. I want to read to you, and it's not going to be in the outline or on the thing, but I wanted to read to you just the Lord's reply to Habakkuk. He says, look around at the nations. Look and be amazed. For I am doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe, even if someone told you about it. I am raising up the Babylonians, a cruel and violent people. They will march across the world and conquer other lands. They are notorious for their cruelty and do whatever they like. Their horses are swifter than cheetahs and fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their tears charge from far away like eagles that swoop down to devour their prey. On they come, all bent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind, sweeping captives away ahead of them like sand. They scoff at kings and princes and scorn all their fortresses. They simply pile ramps on earth against their walls and capture them. They sweep past like the wind and are gone. But they are deeply guilty, for their own strength is their guide. And so here's what he's saying. He said, listen, man, some of what's happening, I'm allowing it to happen. And what he's saying is, hey, listen, look around you. I'm at work all around you. Henry Blackaby, in his teaching, Experiencing God, he says, God is at work all around us. We've just got to be able to look around and see where he is at work, and then find where he is at work and join him there. And so one of the things that we need to understand is that God is at work around us. Even in our nation right now, whenever there seems to be so much corruption, so much stuff going on, so much violence, so much this, is that God is at work. And I believe this, that God is at work saving souls. God is at work calling people out. God is at work, and he is working in the hearts of men and women. What's he doing in your heart? What's he calling you to? What's he speaking to you? What's he speaking to you about that maybe is conviction? He's saying, listen, there's an area of your life. You know what? I've been talking to you about this long, long, long time. And it's time for you to let it go. Lay it down. Leave it behind. Maybe you're in a relationship that God has made it clear. You know what? This relationship is not right. It doesn't honor me. You know, maybe it's a dating relationship, whatever it might be. But maybe you say, hey, listen, that marriage that you committed to, that marriage covenant that you entered into, it's time to honor what you committed to. It's time to honor the covenant of marriage. It's time to honor your spouse. It's time to honor one another. And so whatever it might be that he's speaking to you, I believe that God is still saying those things, and we need to hear. There's a question here that says, are you looking for God's work around you? See, too often we just kind of get caught up in life, going through the motions, doing things. We get busy going to work. We get busy going to school. We get busy, doing just what we feel like this culture tells us we ought to do. But what if we were to take the time to just think about, hey, what is God doing around us? And so I want to ask you that question. Just think for a second. What do you know, or what do you see, or what have you heard, and what have you seen God doing around you? Just for a second, just think about that. What have you seen or experienced God doing around you? Maybe it's life change in a friend. Maybe it's someone that placed their faith in Christ for salvation and they were saved. Maybe they followed Christ through the waters of baptism. They've gone public with that. Maybe God gave you a raise or a promotion or a new job. Or maybe he took a job away that, he said, that's not where I want you. I got something better. But what is God doing around you? What's he doing in the lives of your friends? And here would be my question. Are you a vessel of hope that you share what could be with your friends? Do you share the hope of the world with your friends? Do you tell them about Christ and what he's doing in your life? Here's the thing. If there's nothing going on around you, there ought to be something going on here if we are followers of Christ. Let me read the passage up here again. Verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And so if we're followers of Christ, if we truly have a relationship with him, then what we should realize is, that God is speaking. I hear his voice, and I'm following him in the work that he has called me to do. I'm following him in whatever he has taught already. And so I'm following him. So every person in this room that is a believer, that is a follower of Christ, there ought to be something that God is doing in our life personally, teaching us. One of the things I asked our staff this past week in staff meeting, I said, hey, number one, I want to know, hey, are each of you guys spending time in God's Word? Are you spending time in, having a quiet time? They're like, yeah. I said, well, tell me what God is teaching you. Tell me what God is teaching you. And we just kind of went around the room, and each one would share what God was teaching. And I would ask you that. If you're spending time in God's Word, what is God teaching you? What's he teaching you? What has he said already? And what are you willing to do that he's already told you to do? So what is it that God is doing? And then here's the other thing. There's times whenever, we've got to be willing to wait. How many of you guys like waiting? Anybody like waiting? All right, nobody. I didn't think so. How many of y'all have been guilty of this? You pull up at a restaurant, you get out, and you see that there's some other couples or families getting out of their car. And so you walk a little bit quicker than you normally do to try to get to the door. And then you try to be nice, and if they get there about the same time, you want to open the door and kind of hold the door and say, go ahead. But you send your wife on in to get your name on the list. Anybody do that? Yeah. Or you pull up at a bank, and it's the drive-thru, and you pull up and you see all the long lines, and there's one shorter, so you get it in the shorter line, and then you watch the other line that was longer, Everybody gets out before you. Isn't that aggravating? Anybody guilty of getting frustrated and going, you know, why do I always pick the wrong line? Have I got the slow teller or what? You know, I mean, the thing is we get frustrated, don't we? Because we don't want to have to wait. We don't want to wait on people. We don't want to wait on food. You ever gone to a nice restaurant and you really, like, you want to do something special and you get there and they say, hey, it's a 45-minute wait. And you're like, ooh, you want to go somewhere else? And you're like, well, I was wanting to eat here tonight. And it's like, yeah, but it's 45 minutes. I mean, we could go eat, you know, Mexican restaurant. We'd be in no time, you know. And so we have that mentality sometimes. We're like, man, I just don't want to wait. And so here's the thing is when we look in the scriptures, we see that, you know, there's times whenever God had people wait on him. Just wait. And so here's the thing. If we're not willing to wait on people, you know, a lot of times we're not willing to wait on God either. So are you willing to wait on God? Look at this quote here, this statement. This is from Corrie ten Boom. And most of you may know who Corrie ten Boom is. She was the author of The Hiding Place, and her and her family helped Jewish refugees hide during the war and was able to help them get free. She ended up going to jail. Some of her family died in camps and stuff when the Germans were persecuting. But listen to what she says. She says, if you want to hear God's voice clearly and you're uncertain, then remain in his presence until he changes this uncertainty. That opening sentence right there is powerful enough. If you want to hear God's voice clearly and you are uncertain, then remain in his presence until he changes this uncertainty. Often much can happen during this waiting for the Lord. Sometimes he changes pride into humility, which we all need. Doubt into faith and peace, which we all need. And sometimes lust into purity, which we all need. The Lord can and will do it. So just waiting, being still before God, something special could happen. It may be that God begins to deal with us and reveal maybe an area of our life. But a lot of times, you know, we're in this microwave age. Even, you know, today we get frustrated if popcorn goes longer than it should in a microwave. Like, how long is that going to take? You know, we want everything quick. We want it just like this. You know, like websites. You go to a website. If it doesn't load quick enough, you X out. You're gone. And so we want everything quick. We want it immediate. But the Bible tells us there's times that we've got to be willing to wait. Just be still before the Lord and wait on him. Wait for him to respond. You know, I think sometimes we forget that he is all-powerful. He is the one true God. And that, like I've said before, maybe when we come into his presence, it ought to be with a little bit of reverence and awe. A little bit of a wow factor. That we get to come into his presence. We get to enter into his presence. And so as we're coming into the very presence of God, maybe we ought to think about it like it would be coming into a king's court. You know, the King of Kings, though. And so as you come in, you prepare and you think, and maybe if he's not ready to meet with you, you're willing to wait, however long it may take. Maybe he's got something he wants to say to you, you're willing to wait all day if need be. There's a song that we sing. We actually sang it last Sunday. It says, the Lord our God is ever faithful, never changing through the ages. From this darkness you will lead us. And forever we will say, you're the Lord our God. We won't move without you. We won't move without you. You're the light of all and all that we need. We won't move without you. We won't move without you. And so we sang that last Sunday, but do we really mean that? God, I'm willing to wait to hear from you. God, I'm willing to wait until you say move. I'm willing to wait until you say go. And if maybe there's not clarity and there's, you know, some uncertainty, then we spend time in his presence waiting for him to clear things up. Not putting him in a rush. Not squeezing him into 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes. We say, God, I'm willing to wait on you. I'm willing to hear from you. I want to hear from you. And so maybe one of the things that we all need to do this week is say, God, I need you just to help me slow down a little bit. I've shared this before. You know, I love to hunt, love to fish. And so often we're in such a crazy rat race. You know, we're always in a hurry. And even that sign, that the fact that I was doing that, if you ever watch baseball players or quarterbacks or something like that, and they're waiting on a sign or a signal from a coach, they'll be like, dude, come on, hurry up, hurry up. And that's what we do. We're always in a hurry up mode, you know. And so what we do is we tend to be in such a hurry that it's kind of hard to slow down. So like at the beginning of hunting season for me, the first couple of times I go, you know, I'll get in a tree or I'll get in a stand, And I'm constantly looking at my watch, and it's like, dude, it's only been 5 minutes. And then it's like, man, it's only been 10 minutes. What in the world? But I'm having to slow my mind down. I'm having to just kind of relax. I'm having to kind of get out of the rat race for a little bit. You know, and so it's hard sometimes to slow down. And for you guys who are wide open, you're constantly on the go, you know, to find that time to just kind of be still before the Lord and kind of slow down and say, God, I want to hear from you with that expectancy. It may take you doing that consistently for a few weeks before you ever get to the point where you can truly slow down. For me, it takes a few trips and a few weeks before I really begin to slow down and enjoy my time in the woods or on the water. I have to slow my mind down and just kind of begin to be still and just kind of enjoy that time. And so it's hard to do that. There's some next steps down here. Maybe for you, these might be the next steps. It says, my next step today is to give my life to Christ so that I can hear from God. We talked about that last week. Man, unless you have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, unless you have accepted Christ and given Him your life, man, you'll never hear from God the way that God wants to speak to you. You'll miss that every time. And so the need that we have is we need to have a relationship with God the Father through His Son Jesus. And the only way that comes is by us putting our faith in Him. It's not by works. It's not by deeds. It's by putting our faith in who Christ is. And saying, Jesus, I want you to come and I want you to be Lord of my life. I want to follow you. Not just be saved. I want to follow you. And then the next one there says, work on knowing what the distractions are and prioritize them below my time with God. See, I thought about putting eliminate distractions, like I'd put over here, and I got to thinking, man, some people might think, well, that sounds kind of harsh because my kids are a distraction. We don't want that to happen. But I do want you to prioritize. You know, and there's a list of priorities that we need to consider. Number one is God truly God in my life? Is He truly Lord? We say that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Well, Lord means that He is first. He is foremost. And so He is more important and more important to me relationally than even my relationship with my wife. He's more important than my relationship with my kids. Now, does he affect them and does He want me to love them? Yes. But my relationship with Him is critical. And if my relationship with God the Father is with Him as at the top of the order, then these relationships will be in better shape. If this relationship is in order, these tend to get there. And so here's the thing is, God needs to be first. My marriage needs to be second. My children need to be third. And my ministry or anything else that God has, career, whatever it might be, all those come in behind that. Too often we live in this world with that upside down. It's career. It's my job. It's everything else first. And God's somewhere in the mix. And so work on knowing what the distractions are and prioritize them below my time with God. And this next one, just sign up for the next serve day, July 9th. Since God has already told me to serve others, then be a part of it. It's real easy to, you know, that's just the next step. God's told us to serve. Jesus said, hey, listen, I've come to be a servant. You know, he gave up his position to come and to serve. He got down and he washed the disciples' feet and he served. There's all types of places through Scripture where God's already told us some things we ought to do. And sometimes it's just saying, you know what, God, I want to hear what you have to say and I just want to do it. And so we had a small team yesterday, good team. But what if we'd had this team? What if we'd had this many people? And it's just one service. Man, what all could we have done to bless people in our community, to wash the feet of the people around us? What could we accomplish if we had this many people? Or twice this many? It'd be like a small army hitting our community. And I'll tell you this, we'd have to do a lot more preparation, wouldn't we? But if we prepare well, you know what? We are able to make a greater impact. And so I want to encourage you just to prepare this week. And so how will you prepare for this week? Number one, I would say begin your week with God. And how would you prepare for your time with God? Number one, I'd have a good Bible that you can read. One that you understand. If you got the old dusty one that's off the shelf that you still don't understand what it says, then get one that's an NIV or an NLT or something that you can read that you can understand. And spend some time reading God's Word. One of the best gifts that we've ever given out here at Journey Church. It's called a New Believer's Bible. And we give it to new believers. And one of the greatest privileges I have is to be able to walk them through that Bible and show them, say, listen, number one, there's a section here in the front that shows you how you can know that you are saved. How you can know what God's Word means and what it says. I said, and then there's the next one where it talks about cornerstones, where you're laying a foundation for your faith. Who is God? Who is Jesus? Who is the Holy Spirit? And I begin to walk them through there and I show them how it walks them through the Scriptures. And it literally leads them from Scripture to Scripture so that they can have a solid foundation to build their faith on. And so that's one of the greatest gifts. And maybe you're here and you're not a you know, you haven't given your life to Christ or whatever, but you know what? You're like, or maybe you have. You say, man, I need one of those Bibles. They're not that expensive, but we give them as a gift to those who give their life to Christ. And it's one of the greatest gifts we ever give away. And I love giving away Bibles. Because see, the Bible, the Word of God, is Him speaking to us. Let's pray. I'm not sure what God's speaking to you today, but I know He's speaking. I believe He wants to speak to all of us. I know He's been speaking to me. So maybe you're here today, and maybe the thing that He has pointed out is, and that He is not in first place. He's not even in the top 10 in your life. Maybe your priorities need adjustment. And you realize He's not a priority. You don't make time to meet with Him. You won't slow down to listen. You won't be still for a moment. You're too busy. And you know it. See, He wants a relationship with you. And if our relationships with everyone else that we have in our life, if we treated them the same way that we treat our relationship with God the Father, those relationships probably wouldn't last long. They would fade away. But because He pursues you, and He loves you, and He wants a relationship with you, He goes above and beyond. He went above and beyond when He sent His Son Jesus to the cross. When He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins, He went above and beyond. Supernatural. He went above and beyond to make sure that there was a way to Him, that you could be in right standing with Him. And it's by Jesus going to the cross and dying for your sins and paying that price, and then you receiving Him as Lord and Savior. You saying, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I want you to be my leader, my Lord. I want to follow you, not just be saved. I want to follow you. And I want you to use me as your vessel. And I want to be a light in this dark world. And I want to be a life that would be a witness for you, letting others know how they can be saved, how they can experience what I've experienced. So, Jesus, I want you to use me. So maybe that's your need today, is for you to accept Christ as Savior, to put your faith in Him. And so I want to give you that opportunity right now. And it's simple enough that a child can come to know Christ. Simple enough for an old person to come to Christ. It's simple enough for anyone to come to Christ. It's simply by putting our faith in Him and choosing to follow Him from this day forward. And so if that is your need, I want to lead you through a prayer. If you're here today, nobody's looking but me. I just want you to raise your hands and say, Mike, I need to accept Christ today. That is my need. I need Jesus Christ in my life. Anybody in the room? Just raise your hand. All right? Anybody else? I need to accept Christ today. I want to lead you through a prayer. And it's a simple prayer. Just say with all your heart, say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I have committed sins that go against your teaching, and I want to ask you to forgive me. So, Jesus, I want you to come into my heart. I want you to be my leader, my Lord, my Savior. So I give you everything that I've got. With all the faith that I have, I give you myself. And I want you to live in me. And I want you to live through me. And I want you to use me as your vessel. If that is your prayer, if that is from the heart, then you will be saved. There may be many others in here that this one who's raised her hand, man, we need to pray that God would use her. But here's the thing is, there's a lot of us in this room that we've already nailed that down. But we're not available to God. And maybe today you just say, God, I want you to use me. God, I want to be a light. God, I want to be a voice. God, I want to be a vessel. And God, will you use me? God, teach me, change me, shape me, mold me into the image of your Son, Jesus. That I might be a difference maker. That I can make the impact that you want me to make in my family, in my workplace. No matter where I go, God, I want to be a light in this dark world. What are you willing to lay down? And what are you willing to do to prepare to be that type of person? Father, I thank you for meeting with us today. I thank you for loving us. God, I thank you for this one who has put her faith in you today. God, that all that we do as a church was done to reach those who are far from you. God, and to teach us and to equip us and to prepare us for the works of ministry, God, that lives would be changed, that souls would be saved. God, that the kingdom would be expanded. God, that you invite us to be a part of that. You're at work all around us. God, you're at work all around us. Father, give us eyes to see where your hand is at work. God, give us ears to hear what you are saying to your people. God, give us ears to hear. God, give us the courage to trust you, the faith to follow you. God, use us as your vessels. In Jesus' name.